This is All Things Considered on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Peter Biello. And we are going far out into space for this next conversation, into what's called the heliosphere. That's the protective bubble that the sun creates by giving off something called solar wind. To give you an idea of how big the heliosphere is, think of where Pluto is. Now go beyond that. NASA's Voyager 1 broke through the heliosphere a few years ago, but the magnetic field data that it gathered didn't match what scientists expected to gather. A UNH-led study now explains that gap between what scientists expected and what they actually saw, and David Brooks joins us now to talk about it. David is a reporter with the Concord Monitor and a writer at graniteGeek.org. David, welcome.
Glad to be here.
So let's start back in mid-2012. What happens with NASA's Voyager 1 at that point?
Well, Voyager 1 had been tootling along since it was launched in 1977. In fact, its 38th birthday of its launch is on Thursday, and gathering measurements. And scientists had been waiting for it to get to the edge of the heliosphere, which, as you mentioned, is sort of the huge bubble around the sun that's caused by charged particles that the sun emits. You know, it's got all the energy, so much energy that it tears atoms apart and sends actual particles, electrons and protons, out into space all on their own, what's called plasma. It doesn't send very many of them because, of course, space is virtually empty, but it sends enough of them that it gets rid of 2 billion kilograms per second of weight just in subatomic particles. So there's a lot of these things out there. And Voyager 1, as well as its twin Voyager 2, had been sort of gathering data about this, and they'd been waiting for the time when it got to the point where it was far enough away from the sun that it was no longer really feeling the effect of the solar wind, these charged particles, and instead would start feeling the effect of the charged particles that are floating around in outside the solar system produced by other stars. And there's, of course, even fewer of those because space is really empty outside the solar system. And so there was a lot of excitement about when it's going to get to this what's known as the heliopause, which is sort of the skin of the bubble of the heliosphere around the sun.
And the scientists expected something to happen when Voyager 1 passed through that barrier. What did they expect to happen?
Well, and this, I believe, is dumbing it down for us laymen. They talk about, you know, sort of the magnetic field, and they act like it's a compass. And it's not actually, you know, a compass like you and I use when wandering around in the White Mountains, but it's analogous to that. It's measurements that are saying what direction the particles that are encountering your craft, what direction are coming from. And they basically expected it to spin from pointing at the sun to pointing away from the sun, roughly, when it went through the heliopause, and it didn't. And as a result, there was an announcement in 2012. You may remember this, actually. You know, Voyager 1 is the first craft to have left the solar system. And then NASA said, now, wait a minute, we're looking at this data. And, of course, the data comes back very slowly because Voyager 1 is, you know, it's got 38-year-old technology on it, and it's a long way away. We looked at the data, and there's problems with the measurements, so we're not sure it actually has. And then somebody else said, well, yes, it has, and somebody else said, no, it hasn't. So there's been an argument about it for several years. And this most recent research, which comes out of the UNH Institute for the Study of Earth, Oceans, and Space, looked at data from several other spacecraft, notably the one called IBEX. And they sort of triangulated it, basically, data from all those, and said that, yes, Voyager 1 had actually passed into the heliopause, into, you know, the edge of the bubble, and was leaving the bubble around the sun. And the reason that the data was that the readings were not what were expected is that there are anomalies in the field. It's not just a big spherical field of plasma around the sun, but it has anomalies in it. And Voyager 1 happened to be going through one of these anomalies, and that's what caused the compass reading, so to speak, to be different than expected.
So this must be pretty exciting for all the space geeks out there who are finally getting a chance to learn a little bit more about what it's like to be beyond the heliosphere.
Exciting isn't the word. So I put this on the Granite Geek blog, and it has gotten more than 10 times the traffic of any other post I've put on the blog since I came to the monitor. I mean, to the point where our IT guy sent me a note and said, well done. And I had to tell him, well, yeah, thank you very much. But all I did was cut and paste the press release from the UNH News Service, who wrote it up themselves. But people were very excited. There was a considerable discussion under the post about how long the instruments will continue reading on the Voyager 1 and Voyager 2. They have their system is based on plutonium, on radioactive decay, so they're expected to continue making readings and sending them back in dribs and drabs for a couple decades more, which is kind of interesting. And And I have to admit, for people who are perhaps slightly less space geeks, the startling thing about this is making it – it tells us how enormous space is, because Voyager 1 has been going on at many tens of thousands of miles an hour since 1977, which is – who was president in 77? I guess that would be
Carter.
Jimmy Carter. Since Jimmy Carter was president, it was launched, and it's been charging along at this staggering speed, and it's only just now outside the solar system. And the distance to the next star is just orders of magnitude greater. So all these science fiction stories about zipping to the stars, it kind of puts them in perspective.
So maybe we'll finally learn about the origins of the universe.
I prefer to think that we will encounter little green men. They've been waiting right outside of Pluto for us to get to them, and they'll say, hooray, welcome to the universe.
Well, David, thank you very much.
You bet.
That's David Brooks. He's a reporter for the Concord Monitor and the writer who is so geeky he emits a magnetic field that attracts other geeks at graniteGeek.org.